here at the Genesis Communication Network, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you, the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views. And, well, they're also the views of our guest, Bob Chapman, is with us today. And, of course, we're going to be talking about what's happening financially. Did you know that wheat hit $20 a bushel today, the highest, as far as I know, the highest it's ever been throughout all history. Soybeans hit a new high. Corn hit a new high. Oil is certainly going up, as is gold and silver. Inflation is rampant, and yet the government assures us there's only about maybe 2.1% inflation, maybe a little bit more if you put in food and fuel, but you got nothing to worry about. The government has everything under control, and that's why we have to massively expand the availability of credit and keep cutting interest rates, because, after all, we don't want to have the economy fall into a recession, yet we're falling into a recession, and everything we're doing is just making matters worse. And well, hi, Bob. How are you doing today?
Well, not bad. I see that... you know, the commodity markets were spectacular today. Of course, that's not good, and the reason it's not is that everybody's going to have to pay more for everything. And of course, the figures you quoted of 2.75% core inflation, which doesn't include food and energy, their official inflation, if you include that, is 4.3%, when in reality we're moving into a 12% inflation right now, up from 11.6% just a month ago. And at the same time, the Federal Reserve is increasing money in a credit at approximately 16%, and we're being outdone by some of the other countries. For those who read the international forecaster, they see the figures there from the different countries that we report on. And so the average is probably around 14%, but it's getting higher. Just this last month, the European monetary system increased their money and credit. I think they call theirs M4, if I can remember correctly. Is 12.9, and the Bank of England is 12.3. And so, and those are up from 11.7 and 11.3 the previous month. But the Bank of England was higher several months ago. It was over 14.
Now, you're speaking of the M3. In other words, this is the amount of money and credits that are actually increasing, or predominantly credit.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay.
And so if you put this all together and you look at the money that is being lent by the Federal Reserve, which they create out of thin air, to the banking community, which is running around $80 billion a month, they just pumped in probably another $150 billion over the last couple of months. And the Fed is also feeding money to European banks as well as the European monetary system. And... which is the Eurozone, and so you know, the figures could be much higher than that. And of course, they're doing that to offset the deflation that's being caused by the falling values in real estate. And I think that they're hard pressed to keep the stock market up where it is, and that is the U.S. Treasury and the Federal Reserve. What they're doing is that they're...
Bob, you're going to have to hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment with Bob Chapman, the International Forecaster.
Now, you can bring Berkey Purification Power anywhere with the Sport Berkey Filtration Bottle. Ideal for sporting games, camping or boating, or Sport Berkey is small enough to store in your glove box, so it's ideal backup for unexpected emergencies like blackouts, floods, or earthquakes. It's simply the best personal water filtration system available. So effective you can drink raw, untreated water from lakes, rivers, and streams. Unlike other sport bottles, the Sport Berkey's patented filter formulation is so powerful it removes cysts, parasites, harmful bacteria, and chemicals like herbicides and pesticides. It even reduces radon 222, lead, and other heavy metals. This lightweight, rugged 22-ounce filter is small enough to go everywhere, so take one to work and keep another in your glove box for emergencies. Get the Berkey Sport for only $39. Get two for $70 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. Order your Berkey Sport today. That's toll-free, 888-803-4438, or order on the web at berkeywater.com.
The Healing Formula is an all-natural wound care formula developed mainly for the treatment of pressure sores, also called bed sores. The Healing Formula was developed by a home caregiver with over 30 years' experience. We use the finest ingredients available, including organic aloe vera gel and 35% hydrogen peroxide. The Healing Formula works from the inside out, oxygenating the affected area, stopping the spread of infection, decreasing pain, while promoting healing. The Healing Formula has also proved effective in other areas, such as abrasions, cuts, burns, and rashes. There are over 6,000 peer-published documents on the ingredients in this healing bed sore formula, with not one adverse reaction reported when used properly. The Healing Formula comes with an unconditional money-back guarantee if you are not completely satisfied. We offer a free sample to all nursing homes, home caregivers, nurses, and anyone with a non-healing wound. Please visit our website at healingformula.com or call 800-357-2944. That's 800-357-2944.
In this corner, the vicious digestive overload, featuring bloating, gas, and constipation. And in this corner, the popular formula for better bathroom habits, Dr. Ritter's Aloe Cleanse. And the fight is underway. I have to say, Pat, digestive overload looks much bigger than usual in tonight's match.
It makes sense. Toxic matter builds up in our bodies from the foods we eat. No wonder we get so sick and tired.
Oh, did you see that? Aloe Cleanse knocks digestive overload out.
Well, Aloe Cleanse is natural. It flushes the entire system smoothly. Digestive overload didn't have a chance.
The winner by a knockout, Aloe Cleanse.
Don't lose the fight against digestive overload. Cleanse the body to remove the buildup of toxins. Try Dr. Ritter's Aloe Cleanse risk-free and get a free gift with every order. Call 1-800-457-9914. That's 1-800-457-9914. You'll look trimmer, feel better, and have more energy. That's 1-800-457-9914.
Stan back here at the Genesis Communication Network. Our guest is Bob Chapman, and we're talking about what's really going on. The inflation now is really beginning to break out. You're talking about wheat at $20 a bushel. It used to be $3 a bushel just a couple of years ago. Corn, new all-time high. Soybeans, new all-time high. Oil just off all-time high. Gold, I haven't seen gold. Well, I've never been as high as it is right now that I can remember. And certainly, same thing as with silver. Silver hasn't been up to over $18 an ounce going back to, I guess, 1980. So, I mean, look what's happening to platinum. Platinum's over $2,100 an ounce. Palladium's up over $500 an ounce. Everything is breaking loose, and our leaders are just telling us there's nothing to worry about. We got everything under control. No, ladies and gentlemen, they're going to destroy the value of our currency. They know exactly what they're doing, but you pick up the story there, Bob.
Well, you're right about all those figures. Gold on Friday hit a 27-year high, and silver hit a 27-year high today. And
where did silver close today?
The spot market closed at 1808, mm-hmm. up 10 cents, and gold was down $7.30 at 937.40. And that's to be expected. Nothing goes straight up. Platinum and palladium are at 27-year highs as well. But we've been talking about this for a long time, and the people who are in the market have made an awful lot of money. in gold and silver related assets. And we're only one third of the way through on this. I think we've got two thirds of the way to go. And where is that? Well, if we use gold as a pathfinder, we'll be looking at since 1980, the official value of inflation would reflect $2,268 gold. And if real inflation was used, because our government doesn't tell the truth, then it would be anywhere between $3,000 and $7,000, depending upon whose numbers you look at. But it's probably over $6,000. And so with that said, you know, gold can go anywhere up there, and silver will follow as long as there's inflation. And the Federal Reserve and other central banks have been increasing money and credit now for 4 years and 3.5 years, respectively. Four for the Fed and 3.5 years for the others. And they will continue to do that until they can't anymore. And then the system will collapse. And it's going to collapse. There's no way back for them. And so I don't know how much higher the grains and beans and so on can go. That's hard to say, because they've actually reached what I thought were limits in price. And I mean, I just don't know. I mean, anything is possible. And so people who play those kind of markets, they usually tend to trade. So how high it goes is not relevant. It's the fact that it goes up, knocked down when they want it to. But anyway, it's going to be a lot of dislocation throughout the world because of the higher food and energy costs, and dislocation is a nice name for famine and all sorts of terrible things happening in the third world. And if the supply situation becomes tight enough, then what might happen, they might start rationing food. About 11% of our corn crop is now used to make ethanol, and that's one of the things that is causing real problems, not only in the United States, but in other countries. They're making biodiesel in Europe, and also in Asia, they're using palm oil to make biodiesel as well. And palm oil hit a new high today as well. And so I expect that unless they do away with using these grains and beans and oils in creating biodiesel, biofuels, ethanol, whatever you want to designate, then the situation is just going to get worse. And they know what they're doing.
Well, I'm very much afraid there's going to be famine in many countries. In fact, the World Health Organization, other people are talking about famine in third world countries, you know, because people aren't going to be able to afford to buy the food. And it's increasing scarcity. Certainly there have been failed crops, you know, in Africa and in Australia, you know, and certainly the rice crops are failing throughout the world. And certainly in Australia, their rice crop is way off because of the drought over there. So, I mean, I think that people find it difficult to believe we could have famine in the world today, as advanced as we are, but everything points in that direction.
Well, it certainly does, and there's a number of factors, but what tipped it over the edge was biofuels. And, you know, usually sugar or weeds is one thing, but when you use corn or palm oil, you're creating real problems.
I agree. Well, anyway, of course, Certainly, the gold has gone up very, very strongly. Silver has been moving at an amazing, amazing rate, and I think it's just sort of temporarily come to a slowdown right now, but I anticipate that silver is really going to take off like a big bird to get back to any sort of semblance between, you know, what it has traditionally been and what it is today, which is a whole lot of kilter. I don't know, a gold to silver ratio of at least more than 50 to 1, where it used to always be 16 to 1.
Right. Well, I think that ratio and many others, along with charting, has been terribly distorted by the interference in the market by the United States government and its manipulation. And so I found that you, at least I can't use them as guidelines anymore because it's so distorted. And so you just got to go by the fundamentals, and that's why you got to watch all these numbers. And that's why we publish as many statistics as we publish in the Forecaster, so that people can get a fundamental handle on what's going on.
One of the things I've learned here in the last couple of weeks, I'm sure you were well aware of it, but I wasn't, and that is that there's something called auction bonds, and of course these are a lot of the big corporations, municipalities, that instead of taking out a long-term bond and maybe having to pay 6 or 7% interest on that, 6% interest on it, they were actually going into the auction market every week and maybe once a month, you know, getting people to bid on their bonds and get down 3.5-4%, pretty good. Good. And then suddenly the market dried up here recently, and you're talking about, I don't know, several hundred billion dollars of market here, and I was reading where some big medical center with $100 billion in debt ended up paying 15-20% interest, and boy, it doesn't take very long at 15-20% interest to get into a lot of trouble. And apparently a lot of these municipalities that have been, you know, just rolling over their debt every 30 to 60 days are suddenly the money's drying up and they can't get the credit. What's this all about, Bob?
Well, it's about money drying up and can't getting any credit. And it's the whole credit scene. And it gets worse with each passing day. And the smoke and mirrors and the misdirection and all of the things that are going on Wall Street and Washington are unbelievable. And, you know, that market in the auction bond market that exists, although it's frozen now, I mean, you can't even use it because the banks who created the market some years ago absolutely refused to take a position. And the reason why is they don't have the capital to do it, or for no other reason. And so what's happening is that, as you said, municipalities and companies want money, they have to go out and find it someplace else. And a lot of the people who have bonds out there are redeeming them by getting money from other sources. The same thing happened in the commercial paper market. And that commercial paper market continues to get smaller every week. And I don't have the figures right in my head, but it was 2.3 trillion in that market, and now there's probably around 1.8 trillion. So it's lost approximately $500 billion worth of paper. And the reason why is the collateral was this toxic waste known as CDOs, or collateralized debt obligations. And so there's two markets that probably for some time can't be used again. And then you have revenues to companies as well. As municipalities are getting smaller, the value of homes go down, and so the taxes and real estate are supposed to go down. And so they're in a bind, you know, and of course the last thing they want to do is fire anybody. And what they're going to have to do, and eventually, is not only freeze hiring, as they just did in Arizona, but they also have to start cutting people. And that's probably in process in many states because they see they can't make it.
I think you're right. And states are having trouble. Cities are having trouble. Counties are having trouble. School boards are having trouble. All sorts of government agencies that usually could go out and get all the money they wanted to, suddenly they're all finding that they can't get money. Why? Because the credit market has just been shut off, and with that comes a shutdown of the economy. We'll be right back.
The Berkey Security Pack is your one-stop solution for unexpected emergencies. It provides you with purified water, light, power, and communications ability. The Security Pack includes a Berkey Light water purifier, an LED base, two Berkey Sport filtration bottles, the Berkey battery adapter, the Berkey MP solar charger, as well as a backup set of two Black Berkey purification elements. The Berkey Security Pack is important every day and a must during emergencies because it provides purified water, long-term low-energy lighting, backup battery power for your Berkey LEDs, free long-term solar power for communications devices such as radios, walkie-talkies, and cell phones, as well as power for small applications. Get the one-stop solution for your emergency and everyday needs. The Berkey Security Pack, a retail value of $518 for only $399 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. Not yet available in Iowa.
Have you ever felt like the United States government knows way too much about your financial affairs? I continue to hear stories about property seizures, frozen bank accounts, confiscation of stocks and bonds. It makes me wonder if the U.S. citizen will ever again have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Unfortunately, with the Drug and Money Laundering Act, the IRS Revenue Ruling 6045 of 1984, and the Trading with the Enemy Act and Franklin D. Roosevelt's Executive Order of 1933, some precious metal holdings are subject to government intervention. For this reason, Midas Resources has prepared a report explaining the boundaries of trading precious metals privately. Whether if you have any intention of trading with Midas Resources or not, I have instructed my representatives to give this report out free. Call for your free copy at 1-800-686-2237. When investing, always proceed with caution. Again, call 1-800-686-2237. Exercise your legal right to trade metals privately. 1-800-686-2237.
Are the ancient prophecies being fulfilled? Are we living in the end times? Why do the Muslim nations want to destroy Israel, and why is the United States selling sophisticated military weapons to Saudi Arabia and the other Muslim countries? Why is the incidence of UFO sightings increasing, and why is that important? Well, you'll find the answer to those and many other questions in Lynn Marzulli's exciting book, Politics, Prophecy, and the Supernatural, because the book discusses the ancient prophecies and the supernatural forces directing the course of world events today. You can purchase Lynn's book at www.spiraloflife.com. That's spiraloflife.com. And if you read Lynn's book, you'll never look at the world through the same eyes again.
It's a fact. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, all banks in these United States create money out of thin air for every single loan they issue. With never-ending late fees, over-the-limit fees, and higher interest rates, it has become mathematically impossible to repay all debt, making all of us slaves to our creditors. The Federal Debt Relief System has created a successful attorney-backed program to legally eliminate credit card debt, personal loans, lines of credit, and other unsecured debts which have been fraudulently created by the banks. We can terminate your unsecured debt within 18 months with a much lower monthly payment, ending with nothing on your credit report. Join the thousands of Americans who now breathe with a sigh of relief because they have legally eliminated their debt. Instead of living each day in fear and frustration, it's time to take action and turn your life around. Call the Federal Debt Relief System at 877-943-8600. That's 877-943-8600. Or visit FDRS.org. Find out how you can break the cycle of debt slavery. Visit FDRS.org today.
Well, Dr. Stan back here at the Genesis Communication Network, and our guest is Bob Fletcher. I should say Bob Chapman from the International Forecaster. And Bob, in one of your recent publications, I think it was the last one, you were talking about the UBS, Union Bank of Switzerland, which is certainly, if not the biggest, is one of the biggest banks in the world. It's a Swiss bank that has a lot of branches here in the United States, and they got into trouble by buying a lot of these toxic waste, as you call them. But you had some reference into there that they had something like $50 billion they were going to have to write off, and then another $50 billion they're looking at down the line. Is that really true?
Well, those are the figures that I'm getting out of Europe, so I assume that they're true.
Okay, well, I mean, those are frightening figures. You know, $50 billion here, $50 billion there. Pretty soon you're talking about real money.
Yeah, Mr. Dirksen.
I mean, a lot of our banks are in real trouble. Even some of the major banks, even government-owned banks in Germany are having problems.
Well, I think in Switzerland they'll do the same thing they've done in Germany and in England, and what they're doing in the United States, and that is that they're bailing the banks out, and they're doing it through their central banks, and they're just creating money, and they'll do the same thing in Switzerland.
But of course, this is highly inflationary. When you do that, I mean, you get all that new money out there. This is going to drive up the prices of wheat and everything, gold, silver, commodities. Every single thing is going to go right through the roof. This is highly inflationary.
It certainly is, and they don't care. All they want to do is save themselves. But I don't think they realize that in the final analysis, everyone is going to discover what they've done. And I think that there'll be legal action against them, maybe even more than that. But the system is broken. And for those of you who think that the system can be saved, you're mistaken. It just simply can't. And so many banks are going to go down. And it's going to be a bloodbath.
Well, you know what, certainly right here in the United States, we find many of our largest banks, certainly Citigroup and Morgan Stanley and certainly Bear Stearns and Merrill Lynch, and so many of these large financial houses are in trouble. What about the hedge funds? I understand the hedge funds are bleeding, like a stuck pig.
Well, they're losing money, which is highly unusual for them. But one of the reasons that they are is that the manipulation of the market, they play the market both ways, up and down, long and short. And if they don't know what the Fed is doing on the inside along with the Treasury, and today was a good example. We had the market was down about 50 cents. And all of a sudden, there was an announcement that the rating companies had said that they were going to continue to rate two bond insurers, AMBAC and MBIA or whatever it is.
MBIA, right.
And they were going to keep them at AAA. And so the market goes up 250 points. And, they came up with rumors on Friday. Now, one of the reasons they're running the market up at this particular time is that last Friday was the last day to file on the new FSB 127, which makes you take third-tier assets that you hold in your balance sheet and express what a real market in those securities are. And that means that some of these banks and all kinds of other institutions are going to be showing some terrible losses, and I think that's going to become prevalent this week. And I think that's why they anticipated the market, and that's why they ran it up.
Well, I think it's so important our listeners understand that basically most of the banks and financial institutions have been lying, but the new accounting requirements say you're going to have to tell the truth, and if you have assets that really have no value, you're going to have to put that down, and it means that many of our major institutions simply are going to have no assets or even negative worth. And when that begins to come out, why, you're going to see, I think things are tight now, or just on the edge of the precipice, or maybe we've already begun to slide over. The average individual living their quiet life across America has no idea of the severity of the financial crisis we're facing. Well, we're going to be getting a lot more about it when we get back. And our guest is Bob Chapman. If you have a question or comment, our number 1-800-259-5791.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Nuclear reactors provide economical energy, but would you be prepared during an accident? During nuclear disasters, great amounts of radioactive iodine are released into the atmosphere, which are then readily absorbed into the body. Medical Corps' potassium iodate gives you virtually complete protection from the most feared consequence of a nuclear accident, radioactive poisoning. Potassium iodate can protect against radioactive poisoning by filling the thyroid with good iodine. This shields the thyroid and prevents it from absorbing the harmful radioactive iodine. Potassium iodate is better than the iodide form because it is not as likely to cause upset stomachs in children, the elderly, the sick, and pets. Order the official potassium iodate for only $24 and save $5 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. Call now and get free shipping. That's 888-803-4438.
Hi, this is Burlamichael Diamond. You can now get the most important package ever on what has happened to the Catholic Church in the last 50 years. Find out how this massive crisis concerning the Catholic Church happened, what happened, and how the Bible predicted it would take place in the last days. The package contains 6 DVDs that contain 10 different programs, 2 books that combined are over 1,000 pages and other information. Order now at our website, mostholyfamilymonastery.com. That's mostholyfamilymonastery.com. The last word monastery is spelled M-O-N-A-S-T-E-R-Y. Or call us at 1-800-275-1126. That's 1-800-275-1126. Or mail in your order to us at 4425 Schneider Road, Fillmore, New York 14735. The total cost for this massive package of information is only $10, $15 for UPS Ground, or $30 outside the U.S.
This is George Whitehurst Berry of the Genesis Communications Network. Have you ever wanted the truth about the economy? Crash, Are You Ready? Is the fastest growing program on GCN. Our one-hour program airs weekdays, Monday through Friday, from 10 to 11 a.m. Central Time, just after the Power Hour and just before Alex Jones. To listen to rebroadcast 24 and 7, visit our website at www.hearitonline.com and click on the appropriate link. Our unparalleled guest lineup has included patriots such as Congressman Ron Paul, Scott Ritter, former UN Chief Weapons Inspector Murray Neal, inventor of the revolutionary dragonskin body armor, and Philip Torme, USS Liberty survivor. We also focus on alternative health and survival topics. Go to www.hearitonline.com. That's HEARITONLINE.com.
Well, Dr. Stan back here at the Genesis Communication Network, and our guest is Bob Chapman. And before we go on, Bob, of course, I'd like you to get out your telephone number or your website and how people can actually get hold of a copy of your newsletter. And because I will tell you, I read it, in fact, I look forward to it regularly, and I always feel cheated if somehow or other I don't get one. Are you going to be missing a program sometime next week? Are you missing one of your newsletters next week?
Mm-hmm.
Which yeah. One won't there be? Thursday or Saturday? I mean, Wednesday or Friday? Saturday?
Both
of them. Okay, fine. Mm-hmm. Well, anyway, why don't you tell our listeners how they can get in touch with you and get at least a sample copy and maybe decide to subscribe.
Well, the Forecaster is about business, finance, economics, and social and political issues all over the world. We publish via email on Wednesdays and Saturdays, usually about 30 pages, and we have a hard copy that goes out twice a month as well. And we also have a website if you'd like to go to that and see what's on there. You can also order a free copy of the Forecaster from there. And that address is the International theforecaster.com, the international forecaster.com. If you'd like to email us with a question, that address is international_forecaster@yahoo.com. international_forecaster@yahoo.com. Or you can call toll free 800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188.
All right, fine. Well, if you're out there in the listening audience, you have a question for our guest, our telephone number is 800-259-5791. That's 1-800-259-5791. And give us a call, because certainly Bob has a lot more answers on these things than I do. In fact, there are all sorts of new things coming up all the time. I never heard of before, but they have created a financial monster. There are all sorts of things that are built into this. Fabulous profits have been made, all based upon credit, all based upon a fiat money system. And, of course, with easy credit, we have prosperity. Expand the credit, expand the monetary supply, and everything's great. But once this begins to contract, then the whole thing falls apart. And of course, I think that most economists today believe we're moving into a recession. And a lot of the very smart ones think it's going to be a lot worse than a recession, don't they, Bob?
Well, yes, that's true. Although only 45% believe that there will be a recession at this time. And the other 55% believe that there will not. These are economists and analysts, and how they can miss this one, I'll never know. But you have to understand that the people who are making these decisions on whether there's going to be a recession or not are in the employ of brokerage houses and investment banks and government and corporations, insurance companies. And so their employees don't want to hear that. And so that's why they disagree with the fact that there might be in a recession as long as they possibly can. In other words, it's talking it up and hoping it doesn't happen when in fact it already happened. And they just don't want to come to grips with it.
Well, I think that we're in for some financial times, and certainly there's the housing industry, the building industry, the financial industry. They're all laying off people, aren't they, in massive numbers?
They're what?
They're laying off people, their employees, in massive numbers.
Oh, yeah, an awful lot. Well, it starts with the real estate industry, and that's mortgages and companies and salespeople. And they're all involved in the finance industry one way or the other. And then the appraisers, and then up the line to the mortgage originators, 230-odd large mortgage originators have gone out of business. And then you've got the banking community and the investment banking and the brokerage community, and they're all laying off. And so, yes, there's been an awful lot, and it's been going on for months. In fact, almost a year.
Okay, well, we've got Jay calling in from California. Is that Jay is calling?
Yes, my name is Jay.
Okay, fine. Do you have a question or comment for our guest?
And well, I'd like to first thank you for your wonderful program, both of you. And
what part of California do you live in, Jay?
I live in the Los Angeles area.
Okay, fine.
My question is this. I'm recently retired. I'd like to know where I can move in the United States to preserve not only my wealth, but my freedom. Basically, here in the People's Republic, they have no regard for the Constitution or the Bill of Rights.
You're right. Well, what are your thoughts on that, Bob? Where can he go
in
the United States to preserve his wealth and his freedom?
It's so encompassing, this loss of rights. It's all over the country. I think if you want to, so to speak, get out of harm's way, you might go to someplace like Idaho or Montana.
What do you think of Missouri?
Destinations and people who think that way have been moving in that direction for the last 20 years.
What do you think of Missouri, Jay wants to know?
I really don't know, but I I would have to say that's probably okay in Arkansas as well.
Okay. Jay, you've got to protect your wealth. In other words, you've got to get out of dollar-denominated assets into things that have inherent value, because if the inflation continues, as we fear that it will, of course, the things that are denominated in dollars are going to just keep declining in value. So take a defensive position now, even if you have to give up a certain amount, and I don't know what your pension is or what sort of funds you're in, but make sure that at least part of your money, a part of what you've worked your whole life for, is in things that cannot be destroyed by inflation. I think that's the most important message we can give. What do you think of that, Bob?
I think you're right. I've pointed in the last 8 years to gold and silver-related assets, and everybody's done it enormously well. And I believe they will continue to do so. And for those who need liquidity and have a fair amount of money, they can consider Swiss franc bonds. But beyond that, I have, you know, no recommendations. I think it's a pretty narrow objective. There's not too much to discuss. I mean, with inflation the way it is, gold and silver will continue to go up. And then when the inflation is over, everything will go down except gold.
Okay, anything else, Jay?
Well, let me ask you one other question. What is the possibility of the federal government basically confiscating all gold and silver, though?
They can do anything they want. They can come and confiscate your gold and silver and your weapons and your home and your children and your grandchildren. You have, as you said, no more rights in the United States anymore. That's why a lot of people are leaving the country. And I think, you know, people would be surprised if they knew how many people were leaving. And it's just to anywhere because of what they see. And so, you know, that's something you could look into as well if that fit you and you felt that you could live in another country.
What about Costa Rica?
I don't believe that there'll be confiscation. I'll tell you why. In the 1930s, lots of people had gold and silver coins, but mostly gold coins, because silver coins weren't an issue at that time. The government did confiscate gold, bullion, and coins. Today, people don't have gold bullion coins or gold coins or gold bullion anywhere near the percentages that they had at that time. I don't think it's worth their while to go out and do that. They might go to the ETF, which is Street Tracks, which is GLD, and they have 600 and we'll say 20 tons of gold, and the government might go to them and say, well, we want your gold, we're going to give you dollars for it. And there's not too much they can do about it. And but with the exception of that, I don't see them pursuing gold and silver. And I think you also have to think about whether there's another alternative. And quite frankly, I don't think there is.
Okay, anything else, Jay, before we let you go?
Well, one other question is, what do you think about moving to either Mexico or Costa Rica?
I understand Mr. Chapman is looking outside the country. Especially if you've been in those places before. I mean, there's a lot of nice places to live. It's warmer than it is in the United States as you go south. But those two countries are good countries. There's many countries in South America as well. And it all depends on how far you want to travel.
Okay, I hope that answers your question, Jay.
Well, thank you very much.
God bless. Okay, our telephone number is 1-800-259-5791. That's 1-800-259-5791. But, of course, I think that, of course, if America gets into trouble financially, don't you think the whole world is going to have real financial problems? Don't you think that what we're seeing today is a worldwide implosion of the fiat money system?
Right, and as I explained earlier on, we're looking at the money and credit being increased by all countries. I mean, there's a few exceptions, but that's it. And so all current currencies are going down in value versus gold, and in this case, silver as well, but particularly gold, and that's going to continue. So the real alternative is gold and silver-related assets. And, you know, I just don't see any other alternative.
Okay, well, our telephone number, again, 1-800-259-5791. Our guest is Bob Chapman. We're talking about what is happening to the financial structure of the world today. And, of course, as we begin to see, many of our banks, you know, the problem is not liquidity, the problem is solvency. Many of our major banks are insolvent. Why? Because they bought all these bonds that aren't worth the paper they're written on. And also, and it's not simply housing bonds, it's student loan bonds, it's automotive bonds, anything that you could actually, you know, have to make regular payments on, they could make into a bond. And that was great when the market was going up and people were paying on them, but now a lot of them aren't going to be able to. And of course, one of the biggest problems, certainly, is a lot of our municipal and other bonds, which, of course, you know, what happens when the municipality doesn't have enough money to pay on his bonds? Well, of course, you have insurance. You have these organizations, these companies like AMPAC and certainly MBIA and others that have apparently, you know, have at least been able to hang in there for the time being by borrowing money, because they wrote insurance policies and they didn't have enough money to cover it. Things turned bad. And things have turned bad, but how much more money, good money, are people going to put after bad money if these things begin to implode further? What do you think is going to happen as far as the insurance of the municipality and state and school board bonds, especially as the economy contracts and more of our school boards and communities and states aren't going to have the money to make the payments on their bonds?
Well, they'll go into default, and I think a lot of them will. And perhaps as many as 35% to 50%. Maybe even more, but I mean, that's a conservative guess. Money has dried up in those areas. People just don't want to take the risk anymore. As I mentioned earlier, commercial paper, it's a semi-frozen market. The auction bond market, it's frozen. The interbank market between banks, of which that is based on LIBOR, and they won't even lend to each other because nobody knows what each other is hiding off their books. And so, you know, we have another frozen situation. At the same time, the central banks are pouring money in to keep the system from imploding.
Well, no, will these new accounting rules that have been put into force, will that force the banks and these various financial institutions to tell the truth about their assets?
Mm-hmm. Yes, they will. And then what happens is that they have to get more capital, because they will be under capital computation and technically bankrupt. So they're going to need lots more money. So it could be that all of these sovereign trust funds that are out there, all of the money that comes from them into the international money markets will all be readily absorbed. Right now, I think we're looking at something on the order of perhaps $4 or $5 trillion. I don't know that that's enough to solve the problem, but it is enough, if they play ball, which I think they will, to keep the system afloat and keep these bankruptcies at bay again for probably 2 or 3 or 4 more years. And after that, I think it'll be over.
What are you suggesting? Are you suggesting that in 4 or 5 years the structure of the financial system will collapse, or what?
Yeah, that's what I think. I think it'll collapse.
Well, then what happens to the people who've got their money in the banks? What happens to the people who've got their money, you know, in bonds, you know? Maybe you've got, or you've got stocks in great big companies like General Motors or General Electric, or, you know, then what happens to those people?
Well, you just look at last time in the 1930s, and, I don't know, RCA went from $100 down to $3, and all of the other, you know, blue chip stocks of that time. They all went down precipitously, and there was a bond market, but it was a subject market, and there wasn't much going on, and so they, people who had bonds were frozen in, people had stocks, they weren't essentially frozen in because the market functioned. In fact, in 1931, too, there was a major rally, but after that it went down again, and but I think this time, because of the leverage that's involved, the stock market could go down quite precipitously after the central banks have run out of steam and ideas.
All right. And, well, I guess it's been Bob Fletcher. Bob, you want to give that telephone number just one more time?
Oh, that's 800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188.
God bless you. We'll talk to you, I guess, when you get back. Have a
okay.
Wonderful trip, whatever you're going to do. God bless. See you later. Bye-bye.
Hello, folks. Alex Jones here, introducing Prudent Places USA, an interactive CD book that is your premier resource for hard-to-find information. Find out about everything from job migration to evacuation information, such as major bridges in disrepair, and FEMA evacuation time studies for coastal cities. Zero in on man-made disaster zones, environmental areas of concern, and natural disaster zones. Find out everything from where to get water in an emergency to geographic income levels. Housing prices, complete with over 3 gigabytes of detailed information on the 3,000-plus counties in the U.S., full-color photographs, 550 high-resolution full-color maps, and detailed information and analysis that you need. Order Prudent Places USA now for only $29, plus shipping, by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. And tell them Alex Jones sent you. That's 888-803-4438, or order online at BerkeyWater.com.
Some people believe a group of wealthy men control political parties, the American media, and the wealth of our nation. Is this true? Dr. Stanley Monteef spent 40 years studying secret societies and subversive movements. He lived in Africa for 3 years, and when he returned home, he studied the writings of the men who shaped the modern world. His book, Brotherhood of Darkness, identifies the people who control the world and the organizations they created. Dr. Monteef exposes the movement behind Rhodes scholarships, the origin of the Council on Foreign Relations, and the myths surrounding communism. He discusses the goal of all covert organizations, so if you read Brotherhood of Darkness, you will learn a secret that has been passed down through the centuries. When you learn the secret, you will understand what the future holds and what you must do to help preserve our nation. Call and order your copy. 877-300-7645. Only $12.95. That's 877-300-7695.
In this corner, the vicious digestive overload, featuring bloating, gas, and constipation. And in this corner, the popular formula for better bathroom habits, Dr. Ritter's Aloe Cleanse. And the fight is underway. I have to say, Pat, digestive overload looks much bigger than usual in tonight's match.
It makes sense. Toxic matter builds up in our bodies from the food we eat. No wonder we get so sick and tired.
Oh, did you see that? Aloe Cleanse knocks digestive overload out.
Well, Aloe Cleanse is natural. It flushes the entire system smoothly. Digestive overload didn't have a chance.
The winner by a knockout, Aloe Cleanse.
Don't lose the fight against digestive overload. Cleanse the body to remove the buildup of toxins. To try Dr. Ritter's Aloe Cleanse formula risk-free, call 1-800-457-9914. That's 1-800-457-9914. You'll look trimmer, feel better, and have more energy. That's 1-800-457-9914.
Well, Dr. Stan back here at the Genesis Communication Network, and certainly I hope you enjoyed our conversation with Bob. If you'd like to get the material we have on finance, why, we have a talk I've given called Financial Tsunami, comes with the syllabus. We also have a pamphlet It's called The History of Money, and another pamphlet called The Financial Meltdown. Financial Meltdown. We only have two books now. One of the Federal Reserve Conspiracy by Professor Sutton, and the other is the Fiat Money Inflation in France. Now, we do actually have two other books by Professor Sutton. One is Gold for Survival, and one's Gold for, I think, Investment, something of the sort. You can always call us at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927 if you'd like those books by Professor Sutton. But remember, the Federal Reserve Conspiracy, Gold for Survival, Gold for Investment, the Fiat Money Inflation in France, and then, of course, I think is an excellent DVD, my talk on the financial tsunami, and the syllabus is important to get along with it. Then, of course, we do hope that if you have not already made arrangements for food, did you hear what we were talking about today? The price of wheat has gone almost seven times. Well, it's over $20 an ounce today. So that from $3 to $20 an ounce, that's wheat. And, of course, that's the staff of life, the basis of so much of what we eat, and soybeans and corn. Everything's going up. Prices are exploding. The people we work with on the food tell us that they're having a hard time getting food, especially milk and milk products, things of that sort. If you have not laid in a supply of food, don't put it off. If you need a catalog, we'll be glad to send you one free of charge. But if you have a catalog, and I know that hundreds of you do because we've sent so many of them out, don't put it off. And whether you get it through us or someplace else, why, the important thing is that you begin preparing now for the difficult times that lie ahead. If you need water purifiers, of course, we the Berkey water filters, then, of course, the barrels for storing water, important to have pumps to get the water out of the barrels. The other things that you need in case of an emergency, what happens when you go to the store and there's nothing there? You need, of course, to be well prepared. We don't know what's going to happen, but I personally believe there are going to be some terrible, terrible times coming on America, because God is just. His justice is not going to pass over this country as it has in the past. He's going to bring his judgment on the United States. Then, of course, we do hope that to understand the spiritual component of what's going on, you'll want to get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. I see from the orders we got, somebody just bought 20 of them today. Somebody bought 10 yesterday, I guess the end of last week. And of course, another person bought, I think, 10 of our DVDs. That's the Brotherhood of Darkness is on DVD as well. So you need to get the foundation of the spiritual battle in which we're engaged. And then, of course, my talk on the forbidden secret. That's the forbidden secret. Comes with the syllabus. And you'll learn about the angel that rides in the whirlwind that directs the storm. The angel that rides in the whirlwind and directs the storm. President Bush used that phrase twice in his first inaugural address. What was he talking about? Well, we explained it to you in our syllabus. And then, of course, we've got some pamphlets on the occult hierarchy. There really are occult groups that rule the world. If you want to get a copy, of course, of their Mein Kampf for the Earth Summit, we'll be glad to send you one. If you get any of our other products, just ask for a copy of the Earth Summit. It's written by three of the leading occultists, Satanists in the world, Marie Strong, Mikhail Gorbachev, and Stephen Rockefeller, the son of Nelson Rockefeller. And, of course, the Rockefeller's family has been involved with the occult for generations. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And, of course, please tell us about our programs. If the local station would be willing to carry us, we'd love to make our programs available. Go to our website, radioliberty.com. You can listen to our programs there on the Internet, 9 hours a day on the feed, and 4 hours a day on live programming.
Introducing the most efficient gravity filter available. You know, if you were to throw 100 ball bearings at a magnet, most would bounce off. But if you placed them on the magnet, all would stick. The same principle applies in water filtration. Most filtration systems force water through the filter at 60 to 90 psi, causing water molecules to race through the filter in less than a second. The Berkey Light is different. Water molecules take 5 to 10 minutes to pass through the torturous path of the self-sterilizing filters. This allows the proprietary media formulation to remove and reduce pathogenic bacteria, cysts, chemicals, herbicides, pesticides, organic solvents, foul tastes, odors, heavy metals, and nitrates. It is so powerful, it purifies raw, untreated water from remote lakes, streams, and stagnant ponds.
Get the Advanced Berkey Light Purifier for only $279 by calling New Millennium, 888-803-443.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you, the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and, well, for this next hour, they're going to be those of Carmen Mercer, who's one of the vice presidents of the Minuteman Group, and we're going to be talking about, well, Carmen, what are we going to be talking about for this next hour?
We can talk about whatever you want to talk about. Of course, by our topic is always securing the border first, enforcing the laws.
All right, fine. Well, now, my understanding is that they are putting up some fence. How much of that 700 miles of fence or 800 miles of fence they were supposed to put up have they actually put up so far?
I think there's only been about, including all the border states, maybe about 130 miles so far.
All right. Now, what about this virtual fence where, of course, they're going to, have their guide towers, but nobody in them, and they're going to have video cameras and motion detectors, things of that sort. Does this virtual fence really work?
I don't think it does. We've, as you might know, we've been doing border patrols for almost 6 years now. And we've also seen towers that the Border Patrol erected a few years ago on private ranch land that we were patrolling. And it seemed like it was effective, but then we realized that the illegals had very quickly figured out the angle where the cameras would not be able to see them. And so they were using those areas to get through and to get into the country.
Well, do you think that the number of people coming into the country illegally across the border has increased or decreased? Or some people say that not as many are coming because of the jobs aren't as readily available, and certain of the states are not as hospitable as they have been in the past. What do you think is happening? Do you think there's been a fall off at all on the number of people coming in, or is it just we're not catching them?
Well, I can tell you that we've made the experience when, for instance, we had the help from the National Guard. We also had an increased number of the Border Patrol agents, and of course, the Minutemen are everywhere nowadays. We have about 100 internal chapters as well. But during that time, we saw a slight decrease. But all of a sudden, of course, now it's increasing again. I mean, we used to see numbers maybe of 10, 20. 25 or 30 at the most. Now we're seeing numbers again of 100 and more trying to get into the country. So it's showing us that they're still hoping, of course, with our presidential candidates, of all three of them. All three of them are pro-illegal immigration, and so they're thinking that we still need to get in as quickly as possible because we will benefit from the next candidate that's going to become president.
Well, do the number of immigrants coming in illegally in any way reflect what's happening economically in Mexico? My understanding is that supposedly NAFTA was going to bring prosperity to the Mexicans, and really it doesn't seem that it has at all. In fact, many of them have had a terrible plight. They were farmers trying to grow corn that, of course, they couldn't produce, where they couldn't compete with a subsidized corn coming in from major American farms. And so a lot of those were the people who were really looking. They had to have some means of making a living. That's why they came into America illegally. Is there any truth to that, do you think?
I think that the Mexican government, of course, it's a country that's very corrupt, And the majority of the wealth is being held under a small amount of families. And, you know, we have to hold the Mexican government accountable for their own people as well. We understand that, I mean, America, I'm an immigrant. I was born and raised in Germany. I'm a legal immigrant, and I'm a very proud citizen of the United States now. And, you know, the only way that anybody should be coming in, even if they just work in the field and try to make a better living, we still need to know the intent of the people coming in here. We still need to put them through the same process that everybody that comes here legally has to go through.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back with you, Karen. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest today is Carmen Mercer, and Carmen is a legal immigrant to America. She came in as a legal immigrant. She's now an American citizen, but she's one of the vice presidents of the Minuteman Project, which is down on the border, guarding our southern border, because the federal government has steadfastly refused to do what it promised to do back in 1986, and that is guard our border. It discourages immigrants from coming in by going after the employers who are knowingly hiring illegal immigrants. And we see this pattern over and over again where the government simply refuses to do what it should be doing. Certainly some of our farmers need people working in the fields, and so they were to institute a guest worker program. They haven't done any of these things because the leaders of our country, at least in my estimation, do not want to stop illegal immigration, because their loyalty is not to America, but rather to this internationalist dream of uniting, first of all, Mexico and the United States and Canada, and creating a multicultural, multilingual society with French, English, and Mexican equally given standing as far as our languages are concerned, and then, of course, merging us with the rest of the world. Because once a country gives up its sovereignty, as it does with these mergers, they call them trade mergers, but they're really not. They're stepping stones towards the New World Order, the New World Religion, and, of course, the New World Leader. Carmen, what's your take on it? Why do you think that the government has steadfastly refused to do what they're supposed to do, and that is enforce the laws of our land?
I just want to make one slight correction. We're not the Minuteman Project. We're Minuteman Civil Defense Corps.
All right, fine. So you're different than Minuteman.
Well, we were the Minuteman Project when we brought it to national attention, and we had our first 30-day operation in April of 2005. But then the two leaders of the group separated, and we stayed the Minuteman Civil Defense Corps. But we are the original group that started about 6 years ago. Dr. Stanley, I think that, as I was saying, you know, coming into this country, there's only one way to do this, because I'm sure you are aware of, for instance, all the diseases that are now entering the country with a much more severe strain, and it will take a lot more money to cure these illnesses. I mean, we have, you know, I hear it everywhere. I'm in the food industry. I own a little restaurant here in Tombstone, and I certainly know what comes from the health department, you know, the alerts that they even go so far that now they require our cell phone numbers even so that they can contact us as quickly as possible if there are concerns that are arising. And certainly diseases that have surfaced again were eradicated at one time. I mean, we were talking about polio, we're talking about...
Hold that, Carmen, we'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan. I guess it's Carmen Mercer, and she runs a small restaurant in Tombstone, Arizona. And she was just saying that she's, of course, in constant contact with the local health department, who are telling us that there's all sorts of new diseases being brought into this country because people are coming in illegally and bringing these diseases like polio, and I'm sure that some of this is hepatitis A, and we know, for instance, that drug-resistant tuberculosis and leprosy, things that were not a problem in America, have become a problem because our government has refused steadfastly, both Democrat and Republican administrations, whether it's the Clintons or the Bushes, steadfastly refuse to enforce the federal laws against illegal immigration. So you pick up the story there, Carmen.
Yes. For instance, it's not only those diseases. We also need to address another disease that's coming in, that's been proven to come in through the illegal aliens, and that's the so-called Chagas disease, which is a parasite that enters the bloodstream, and it's very difficult to detect it, and by the time you can detect it, it's almost always too late because it enters the heart and then it kills people. It has contaminated blood supplies of the Red Cross because it was so difficult to track it. And as you mentioned, hepatitis is the same thing. But the other thing is also, you know, all of those things I had to go through when I applied for my, even for my green card, for my residency resident card, I had to do this background check, and I had to do it even twice. I had to do my fingerprinting twice because the fingerprints expired after 1 year. So I had to redo them. Of course, there's money involved. You have to pay for that, which is all right. I mean, that's the law of the country, and that's what everybody should adhere to coming in here. We absolutely need to know the intent of the millions and millions of people who are in this country. And we're not only talking about migrant workers. That's only about 3% of all the illegal aliens who are coming into the country. The rest of them also have criminal intent. We're talking about terrorists coming in. And so this is what our government has to stop. They have to stop at the border first, secure that border first, and then we have to address the issue that's already inside the nation.
But, of course, the thing is that they have no intention of enforcing the law. I mean, certainly, we were promised, President Reagan promised the American people that, you know, the federal government would now, if we just give amnesty to those 1 million people who were here in 1986, they promised, across their heart and hope to die, that they would enforce the laws. And they refused to do it under the Reagan administration and the first Bush administration and the Clinton administration and now the second Bush administration. And they simply have refused to enforce the laws. They'll go after all sorts of other things. My goodness, you know, if they have somebody who's a Democrat that they don't like, they'll go after them, as beautifully exampled on 60 Minutes last night when they went after the governor of Alabama because he was a Democrat and they couldn't get him out of office any other way. So they came up with a phony, they bribed one of the witnesses, you know, we'll send you to jail forever or you give us the testimony we want. So they got the governor of Alabama, he's in prison today, and 50 state attorney generals have petitioned the federal government to get this man out, because 50 state attorney generals said this was a fraudulent prosecution. If you haven't been up on the CBS 60 Minutes, go there and read about it. And if they can, the federal government will do that to a governor, then no man's life or family or property is safe. But they steadfastly, the Bush administration, has the obligation to guard our borders, to abide by the law. They've refused to do it, and they've refused to build a fence. They go after, of course, they prosecuted some of the, and even sent to prison some of the Border Patrol agents who were doing their job. How did the Minutemen feel about these Campion and
Ramos, yes.
And Ramos, right? How do they feel about the fact that these have been sent to prison, Border Patrol agents, for doing their job? And of course, basically, that has almost put fear in the hearts of any other Border Patrol agent who wants to do his job.
Absolutely, and of course, it has brought down the morale of the Border Patrol agents. I mean, we work very, very closely with them. They totally appreciate what we're doing. They come up to us, you know, when we do our operations. They come up to us all the time. They always respond in a very quick manner. They're usually there within 5 to 10 minutes, and of course, sometimes they're so overloaded themselves, but they always try to respond to our calls when we have sightings and we report them to them. But, you know, it is up to the American people, it's up to the American public to fight this war. Yes, the president is, through the Constitution of the United States of America, he has to protect us from invasion, and he's not doing his job. It's up to us to hold him accountable. It's just like Arizona. The governor of Arizona has, since the first of the year, put a bill into effect that will now hold employers accountable if they are, and of course that's another loophole, if they're knowingly hiring illegal aliens, and they do it the first time, they lose their they lose their business license for a couple of months, and then the second time they will lose it and will not be able to regain it. So those are the actions that have pushed this into effect through the voice of the American people. The same way we defeated the amnesty bill in June, it was done because of millions of American people, you know, called in, faxed, and emailed, and brought the whole system down at the Capitol. You know, and all senators had to finally give in and realize, you know, America has awakened. The people are informed about what's going on. They have passion and compassion, and they want this country to be back in the normal state.
And of course, we have, I think, leaders who have a different, entirely different agenda, because they have a different loyalty, and their loyalty is not to America. but to the internationalist dream. And I think that's why nothing's being done. Well, Carmen, how effective are the Minutemen today as far as what's going on? And how many areas are you regularly patrolling, and how often are the people out there?
Well, we're on all four southern borders, but we're also on the northern borders as well. And, of course, we have our 30-day operations twice a year where we man the border 24 hours a day. We do 8-hour shifts three times a day. And we've been able to have, with the help, Border Patrol, with our help, has been able to apprehend over 16,000 illegal aliens. We've cited anywhere from 30 to 35,000, but we also have saved a lot of lives, because that's another issue. A lot of these people coming through the desert don't realize how harsh the environment is, and how how they often get dropped by the coyote, who is the scout that will bring them to the border. And once they're at the border, they get dropped, and the coyote tells them, "Oh, this next city in front of you is Tucson," whereas Tucson is another 80 miles, 90 miles away from them, and they don't know where they're at, and they don't have enough water, they don't have enough food. And so the Minutemen Civil Defense Corps in the last 6 years has saved over 300 and I think it's 325 lives up to now. And so we've done a lot of good. We've been very effective, and we've also kept the pressure on the government to enforce the laws and to get that border secured. And when Michael Chertoff came out last June, after we defeated the amnesty bill, he knew exactly what was happening, because he said the only way we can regain the trust of the American public is by giving them what they want, by giving into their demands, by securing the border. And his last words were then, "Let me tell you, this fence is going to be built." And since then, you know, they've been putzing around and started building the fence, and then some federal judges in Texas put an injunction against it, so the fence building was put down for a while again, and it's not just now beginning to start up again to a certain point, but we still don't have the 700 miles of fence, which we were promised with the Secure Fence Act.
All right. Well, now, how many of those coming across the border are actually brought across by the coyotes? In other words, they're paying to be brought across, and you commented that the coyotes drop them off. And can anything be done about the people, about the coyotes, and about the Mexican government that is actually encouraging this sort of thing?
Sure, because, I mean, they know that illegal aliens are bringing over 20... is $1 billion a year back into that country, and of course that's a benefit to Mexico. But they need to remember that, I mean, you know, even though we put these numbers out that we are saving these lives, I mean, there have been so many people who died in the desert, and that has increased over the last year. Of course, last year we had a tremendous summer everywhere, and so we had, I think, from October through January, we had over 180 people that had died in the desert. And those are things that don't even seem to bother the country of Mexico. And they're still accusing the United States that it is our fault that this is happening. This is not our fault. And we certainly have to think about our own people. In 2005, we had over 14 million underemployed American people who could not feed their family with just one job. They had to go out and look for a second and third job. You know, and this is America. We need to take care of our own people first. We need to educate our children with the best education in the world. And we also may have to make sure that America is a healthy America. How can we fight any fight if we're not even healthy ourselves? And certainly with everything that's coming in, that's also weakening the American country, as well as weakening the economy with illegal aliens who are depressing the wages. I mean, we see it everywhere. Construction companies are outbidding companies who only employ American workers, and American workers are losing their businesses. American employers are losing their businesses because they can't compete, and this has to stop.
And, of course, what they're doing is because anybody can go to a hospital emergency room and get free medical care, according to federal law. The federal law requires it, and as a result, why many of our hospitals have gone bankrupt, or either that or had to close down their emergency rooms. But a lot of our hospitals are having terrible problems. They have a emergency room, and somebody comes in, needs to be hospitalized. They got to hospitalize them and treat them for nothing if they're an illegal alien. You and I can't get that sort of treatment. Oh, but they can.
That's true, and I can just give you a very quick example.
Hold that thought, because we're going. Go ahead.
I can just give you a quick example on that. You know, I have health insurance, and I pay over $300 for my health insurance per month, and I cannot even get a physical that I try to get every 5 years, you know, everything that a female needs, because my insurance doesn't cover all of that at one time. I have to accumulate the money for them to reimburse me for the test, and that's ridiculous.
Hold that thought. We'll be back here in just a moment. We live in a world gone mad, Carmen. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Carmen Mercer. We're really talking about the problems that we face today because the federal officials steadfastly refuse to enforce our laws and are actually and actively encouraging illegal immigration by refusing, at least at the national level, to go after employers who are hiring illegal. There have been a couple of companies they've gone after, but not the major companies. But at least in Arizona, where Carmen lives, they've passed some legislation, and they've made it very difficult for employers to hire illegal immigrants. And that law is really working pretty well, isn't it? I understand an awful lot of illegal immigrants are leaving Arizona because they say they're being discriminated against. Is that true, Carmen?
That is true, actually. That has started to happen, but I think they're still going to try to disperse into the different other states where they don't have that bill that's being enforced yet. But I have actually gone to a McDonald's here in Tucson, and they proudly had the sign on the wall that they're using the E-Verify system, and they were actually all American workers that were employed there. And, you know, I think that's what we're going to see everywhere, and everybody is going to adapt to the very same bill because, you know, the American people are saying enough is enough. It's time for us to get our rights, to get our protection by our president, and we're holding the officials accountable. And if they're not, for instance, what happened in the when we defeated the amnesty bill in June, they were, I think it was 21 senators who are up for re-election who voted for closure the first time around, and then, of course, everything broke loose, and with the input of the American people, all the calls. And I walked the halls of the Senate office, the Senate building back then, and I would go in there, and I was just astonished how everybody was ready to pull out their hair because they got so many calls, they couldn't even handle them anymore, and it was because of the involvement of the American public that got done. And, of course, when the second closure vote came around, these senators felt the pressure, and they voted against it, and that's what we wanted them to do. So we're holding them accountable. We're also telling them, just like we elect you, we will also unelect you, and we will make sure that a better candidate gets into that office the next time around.
And obviously that's the one thing that most of these senators really fear. A lot of them aren't dedicated to the right or the left. They're just dedicated to staying in political office. That's what they want, all the goodies, all the benefits, you know, all the prestige, and who knows what else they're getting, you know, as long as they hold those positions of power. But if they know that they can be voted out and that the people are going to come after them, why, of course, they're going to do what the people want. And on most issues, the people don't even know how their senators vote, but thanks to the Internet, thanks to alternative radio, thanks to the Minutemen, thanks to an organization known as Numbers, and we had Roy Beck on just last week from Numbers, why, you know, we really are beginning to have some influence back there. Now, is there any new legislation back in Washington, D.C. we should be concerned about now, Carmen?
Well, what we are concerned about that the fence funding was taken out in the omnibus bill, and we are, you know, what we said was none of the, and back then it was still more presidential candidates that were in the race, none of the candidates went back to the president and said, we need to make sure that that money gets put back in, these $3.5 billion. We need to make sure that that money gets put back in because that's what was promised with the Secure Fence Act, and none of them, not one of them made that attempt to even address that issue.
All right, you hold that thought, and we'll be back here in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Carmen Mercer, and Carmen Mercer is the Vice President of the Minuteman Project, is that right?
Minuteman Civil Defense Corps.
Minuteman Civil Defense Corps, yeah. Okay. But anyway, of course, here in California, it's estimated that illegal immigration costs us over $10 billion a year. And that was a couple of years ago, maybe much higher than that now. The entire state budget's only $140 billion a year. And the money goes for medical care. In fact, most of the children born at Los Angeles General Hospital, one of the largest hospitals in the world, about 85% of those children are born to mothers who are in this country illegally. Our prisons are full of illegal immigrants. Crime is rampant. The gangs are made up of illegal immigrants, whether they be from El Salvador or from Mexico, are taking a terrible toll on law and order in our community. Diseases and new diseases are spreading. Our healthcare system is collapsing. Our educational system is collapsing. And it's all because the federal officials steadfastly refuse to abide by the laws of this land because they have a different agenda. And they really want to merge the United States and Mexico. Well, are we making any progress, Carmen?
I think we are making the progress. We have to keep the calls out to the public. We have to inform them. And, you know, talk radio is a great way to do that because it goes into every little corner of the nation. And I always call it the unedited version because you talk on talk radio and it exactly comes across the air like that. And nothing is edited out. But what you said was the $10 billion a year that it's costing California, you know, you multiply that by all the other states, and maybe some of them do not have such a big population of illegal aliens, but Tom Tancredo said it correctly. He said there's not one district in this country that is not affected by illegal immigration, by illegal aliens, and that's what we have to think about, and that's what we have to work for. You know, we certainly are also concerned about that illegal aliens are now or are supposed to be getting the tax rebate. You know, that's money that should be there for citizens. That's money that should be there for the American people. But then again, if we're giving this rebate, it's going to put us even more into debt. I mean, we're already in debt the way it is. I mean, who is going to do this? Are we just printing the money and not even worry about what is happening, what it's doing as a result?
Absolutely. I fear that the people in government already, of course, have written off the American dollar. They're going to simply try to print their way out of problems. They've done that, you know, through the ages, and it's always failed, and it's going to fail this time. But with it, of course, will the destruction of the value of our currency. So, you know, there's so many things that need to be done. You know, and none of the good things are being done, and all the bad things are being done. And you have to ask yourself, are the people in Washington, D.C. really that dense, or do they have a different worldview, a different agenda, a different loyalty? Well, Sydney, what about the politicians? Now, certainly the politicians down there in Arizona where you live were right on top of this immigration issue, and that the new legislation that you passed there really had the overwhelming support of the legislature there in Arizona, didn't it?
Yes, it did. And of course, it would be great if Senator McCain would actually be coming through with a statement that he will enforce the border. He just said yesterday in an interview, he said that Juan Hernandez, who has been questioned being one of his fundraisers, who worked for President Fox's cabinet and is very outspoken, an outspoken advocate for immigrants, both legal and illegal. You know, and McCain says that Hernandez is on his staff because he supports my policies and my proposals and my legislative proposal to secure the border first. And he says, I don't know what his previous, he also says, I don't know what his previous positions are or other positions are. I have made it very clear my position on immigration. I promise you, I will secure our borders. I will not allow anyone to come here illegally. And that was his quote. You know, but it's not only done with securing the borders. And, of course, he's always been for the illegal aliens. And he certainly doesn't seem to worry about secure the border first, but that's not the end of the job. Then enforce the laws that we have on the books. And let's not try to change the laws and create new ones constantly. We have all the laws on the book, and it's just very easy to follow those. And you know, to hold the employers accountable and to crack down on them. That's the only way we're going to get success with a combination of things, secure the border, build that fence, increase the Border Patrol agents, and also protect them. The attacks against the Border Patrol agents are getting more and more severe. so many agents have been killed in the line of duty. You know, and these guys, they need the support. They need the support of the government. They need to know that the job they're doing is what they were hired for, and they want to do it well.
Well, of course, what the background of what Carmen's talking about is that John McCain has hired a man who used to work for Vicente Fox. And of course, Vicente Fox was the president of Mexico. He's an obvious internationalist, totally dedicated to the destruction of the sovereignty of America and joining Mexico and the United States together. So what's this man doing on John McCain's staff? Well, we'll be back here in just a moment to explore that even further. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here. Our guest is Carmen, Carmen Mercer. One of the problems we face today is the fact that politicians will say whatever you want to hear. In fact, they'll give one statement to one group of people, and the next day they'll give an exactly opposite statement to another group of people. But John McCain has made the statement that, you know, I certainly would never support any special interests. I would never do that. Well, of course, he was one of the Keating Five. People have forgotten that there were five senators who were writing all sorts of letters and supporting a fellow named Keating who ran the Lincoln Savings down there in Arizona. And, of course, they were using the money instead of putting it in, someplace where it would be safe for the people. Why, of course, Mr. Keating was using that money for his own purposes and building all sorts of things. And, of course, when the savings and loan debacle went down, all the people who had invested in Mr. Keating's enterprises lost their money, and a lot of people lost their life savings. And one of the major senators behind that was John McCain, known as the Keating Five. The other four are either dead or out of office. John McCain is the only one of the Keating Five who's left. But nobody, have you noticed, Carmen, that nobody brings that up in any of the discussions of what's going on today?
True, and that's surprising to me too. You know, none of these issues are coming up, and of course, the media has found several wrongdoings of all of these candidates, and it doesn't seem to make a difference. And you know, our president Chris Simcox has gone round and round with Senator McCain over the last 6 years on the immigration issue, and they almost literally got into a physical altercation once or twice. And everybody knows about McCain's temper, but you know, when he went into the race and his numbers were dropping, all of a sudden he said, and he came out and he said, you know, I'm getting the message. I'm listening to the American people now, and I understand now what they want. They want to have the border secured, and I'm going to get that accomplished. And certainly it makes one think that this was just a well-versed way to get his ratings up and to get more votes.
And, of course, you remember when George Bush was critical of President Clinton because, of course, he was involved, American involvement in Bosnia and Kosovo. And George W. Bush said, "Why, what a terrible thing when I get to be president. We're not going to be involved in foreign adventures. Or we're going to emphasize what's going on at home. We were not going to get involved with what's going on in other countries and their wars." And, of course, you know what happened. George Bush, of course, has gotten us involved in more wars and more expenditures than Bill Clinton ever did. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan. I guess this is Carmen Mercer from the Minuteman Civil Defense Corps. I guess pretty close to that title. And our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295 if you have a question on this issue. And then, of course, Carmen, would you like to get your website out, telephone number, any other means by which people can get in touch with your organization?
Absolutely. Our website is www.MinutemanHQ.com. That's Minuteman, singular, HQ.com. And we always urge people to join the Minuteman, to become a volunteer. There are several links on the website that they can click on. They can help us build the fence that the Minuteman Civil Defense Corps started building a year and a half ago, and they can also help us with legislature. They can help us with the border and come down to the border. You know, we have to keep the pressure on the government, and we're not going to rest until that job is done. And We certainly all would like to go back to our normal lives, but this is far more important. This is about the sovereignty of the United States. This is the country, the greatest country on earth, and we want to keep it that way.
Amen to that. I think you're absolutely right. And the average American says, well, you know, nothing's ever going to happen to America. It'll always be here. And that's not true. Every other country throughout all history has eventually been destroyed, and America is being destroyed today, financially, morally, certainly in every way. But the biggest attack is on the sovereignty of this nation, and the organized, orchestrated attack to pursue the North American Union. And we know what they're up to because we've read the material from the Council on Foreign Relations. They even published a book called the North American Community. And, of course, it's just simply another name for this. In fact, we have a four-tape set on that, a four-tape set on immigration. We carry the book, The Late Great USA. The Late Great USA, must reading. I want to preserve this nation. So if you are out there and you'd like to give us a call, it's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And Carmen, would you give your telephone number again? Somebody just called and wanted to get it.
Oh, my telephone number is 520-255-1796.
One more time. You always have to give it twice.
520-255-1796.
All right, fine. That's the first thing you have to learn about.
Yes.
about talk radio is you always give your telephone number first, and I'm sure that you will in the future. Anyway, I think it's so vitally important what you're doing, Carmen. And you know, certainly, you know, a lot of these people coming across the border, they're not really aggressive at all or really trying to attack you or attack the Minutemen, are they? Aren't they? Most of them are simply if they get caught, they get caught.
And then they just come back the next day, you know, because they're just being brought back to the border and then let loose. But we certainly have had attacks. We've had rocks thrown at us. Arizona is an open carry state, and I'm a small woman, and I certainly carry a gun for my protection. But I have to say that in all the 6 years that we've done border security, nobody ever had to draw a gun to defend themselves. But it is there as a protection. And I've often heard the remarks that when there was a group that we had spotted and reported, that they would say to me, you know, if you wouldn't have your gun, we would kill you. So it is not only peaceful law, well, not law-abiding, but peaceful people coming into this country, breaking into this country. We are encountering a lot of drugs. And, of course, we are putting a dent into the drug business because the Minutemen are constantly on the border. And, of course, the fence is also helping along with that and the increasing of the Border Patrol. But, you know, we would like to see our National Guard back on the border and to be able to defend this country, because that's what they need to do, and they need to defend this country first before they defend any other country.
Amen to that. Well, let's first of all go to Ken, who's calling from New York. Hi, Ken. Do you have a question or comment?
Hi, Doc. Thanks. And Ms. Mercer, I applaud the work that you're doing, and I think it's a sign that all is not lost in America when people right there on the front lines of this invasion can...
Okay, do you have a question?
Yes. I'm curious as to the congressmen that have represented the Tucson area over the last maybe 15, 20 years. James Colby, the Republican, and now you have Gabrielle Giffords.
Yes.
And they're both pro-amnesty, I believe. Is that because Tucson is basically the most liberal area of Arizona, or are there other reasons involved why there's a liberal congressman representing Tucson all these years?
Well, of course, Mr. Colby has now resigned, but
right.
Mrs. Gifford is very much for the illegal aliens. Of course, she also has put out she always sends out questionnaires. She wants to get the opinion of the American public, of the Arizona people, and at the same time, she sends out a fax to everybody letting us know that the North American Union is going to be, an improvement for commerce. It's going to improve the security of the United States, and which is just a ridiculous lie. And she's saying that she will always make sure that the American public will be notified, and she will and we can trust her that she will be concerned about public safety and national security.
Well, the thing is that these people who want to join the United States in Mexico and Canada are traitors to our country. They've sworn to uphold our Constitution. They're intent upon destroying the sovereignty of our nation. And until people understand that this movement towards globalism permeates every aspect of our society, Senator John McCain, member of the Council on Foreign Relations, is a globalist. Hillary is a globalist. Obama is a globalist. All of our candidates are globalists. And, of course, the globalists run candidates on both the Democrat and Republican Party ticket. And then we vote for the candidate of their choice. Did you have any other questions before we let you go?
Yeah, thanks, Doc. Ms. Mercer, but why, like Tucson, why are they electing right there on the border with Mexico? Why are they putting into power in Congress people like Gabriel Giffords and Colby?
Okay, let's answer that. I think that's an excellent question. Why do the people of your state elect congressmen or congresswomen like that?
Well, because I think for one, Randy Graff lost the election because everybody knew that he was not going to be a yes man of President Bush. And he was strong on immigration reform. He was strong against illegal immigration. And that's why Gabriel Giffords got into the position. And it was shameful that this happened, because we certainly supported Randy Graff as well as Hayworth. And, you know, it surprises me every time. I mean, Tucson is the area with the largest illegal alien entrance of here in the United States, and it certainly should have been the other way around. Randy Graff should have been elected.
You would think somebody who is very tough on border enforcement would easily get elected.
Yes.
And the opposite has happened. That's what I find incredible.
Yes, and you know, the Republican Party even took out ads against their candidate, and it was just shameful. It is.
Yeah, well, we live in a world gone mad, and there's only a few of us who really are sane, and everybody thinks we're crazy. Thanks very much for calling.
Thank you.
Let's go to Rick calling from Texas. Rick, are you there? Do you have a question or comment?
I had a question. Do you think the elections are even real? I mean, do you personally know anybody that was for her? I mean, I guess you're from Tombstone, but I don't know if you're in the same district as Tucson, but it seems to me that would be almost impossible to elect somebody that was open borders on such a place that's been overrun. And also, I had a second question.
All right, fine. Well, let's get the first one. Are you using electronic voting machines there, Carmen? Because, of course, those electronic voting machines are off to trig.
Yes, we are using electronic voting machines.
The first thing I would do would be to get rid of those. We've got rid of them here in California because we had a Secretary of State who kept her promise, and she promised to investigate them. She found out that they could be rigged, and we did away with them for our last election. So I think that's something else you ought to take on as a project. And I realize, of course, you would like to stick to one project, but it's really not going to do any good to go to the polls when they've got an electronic voting machine there.
That is true, yes, and we have to go against that. I agree.
Anything else you'd like to ask, Rick?
Yeah, what's the crime like? If with all these illegal aliens out there, I suppose the recession has hit you all fairly hard. Has the crime gone up with all those guys there, or have they just decided to go back?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there's not one... news station on television every day that won't report crimes that were done by illegal aliens. I can just give you a number nationwide. And I think it was in 2006, Border Patrol apprehended over 84,000 illegal aliens with a criminal background. And if you go by the numbers that the Border Patrol puts out themselves by saying that they will only apprehend one out of four, and you multiply that number, you know, and it's horrendous.
We got a real problem, Rick, and so I think that all we can do is just, congratulate the Minutemen and hope they keep on the job, and then support the Border Patrol. And certainly, I think it's so vitally important that the American people understand that we've got traitors in Washington D.C. whose loyalty is not to America but to this dream of a one-world government, a one-world religion, and a one-world leader. Anything else, Rick, before we let you go?
I read somewhere where F-16s buzz that guy that, I don't know if he's with the Minutemen, but he's the guy that has a private airplane and he goes up and he...
Oh, you're talking about Glenn Spencer.
There you go, yeah.
Yep.
No, he's not with the Minutemen Civil Defense Corps. He's the American Border Patrol.
Yeah, but I've talked to Glenn, and that is absolutely right.
unbelievable.
Well, of course, I know friends of mine who've had the visits from the black helicopters who come down, they'll hover right over the ground saying, look in your windows. And you don't think that doesn't unnerve people. But it's all part of a pattern of harassment.
And, you know,
and I wonder who has enough money to own a black helicopter.
And we certainly also talk about black helicopters. We certainly have also seen the black helicopters come directly from Mexico, flying into the United States, landing on private ranch land, and where the rancher has told us that the helicopter landed where there was a barn about a mile away. They got out, they got into the barn, came out, and had a box in their arms because he saw it through the binoculars, and got back into the helicopter and flew back into Mexico.
Now, what did they take out of the barn?
Well, it looked like it was money.
I see. Okay. Well, who knows what they're up to. Anyway, thanks very much, Rick, and let's go to Roger calling. Hi, Roger. You have a question for our guest?
Yes, thanks. I'd like to ask you with regard to McCain's perhaps otherwise somewhat inexplicable positions on illegal immigration and a slew of other issues, if you agree that it's important to popularize the concept that anyone that the power elites are going to choose for us is either going to have to be either pre-compromised or thoroughly complicit or probably both.
Okay, fine. What do you think about that? Do you think they're really going to give us any option at all? Certainly McCain, is pro-immigration. He's going to lie to get the votes of the people, but he's going to pretend to be a conservative, but he's not. He's going to pretend to be, you know, against illegal immigration, but he's not. He's not a man of integrity. But then, we got a choice between McCain and Hillary and Obama. It's like a choice between being burnt at the stake, being hung, or being shot. I don't like any of those choices.
Well, I'm thinking, and you're absolutely right. None of these candidates that are up right now still get the support of the Minutemen Civil Defense Corps. And, of course, the other ones didn't get the attention that they should have gotten, like in Duncan Hunter or in Tom Tancredo, and they're out of the race. It's all about the votes, and if they can get them from the illegal aliens, even the better for them. And that's all they're worried about. And once they're in office, I mean, the country, we have the next 4 years that we have to fight for this country, and that's not going to stop. And I'm hoping that when we have an open convention, that maybe another candidate will emerge, because it has happened. I think the last time that happened was President Eisenhower, I think 70-some years ago. You know, and I believe in miracles, and I believe in focusing on the right track.
Well, of course, as somebody once said, it's not over till it's over.
Exactly.
And, of course, we'll wait and see what's going to happen. So we have to understand, ladies and gentlemen, that the globalists, and, of course, they control the leaders of both political parties and the wealth of our nation, and the Federal Reserve System and the media, and many of our major corporations, the great tax-exempt foundations, the globalists don't want to give us a choice. And, of course, just in case you might think that you can get something accomplished, that's why they put in the electronic voting machines. It can be rigged, and that's why, at least here in California, to the credit of the Democratic Secretary of State, she said that she would have them all evaluated. She did. They can all be rigged, and she simply had most of them done away with. So I think that she deserves a vote of confidence and a vote of thanks from the people of our state here in California where I live. Well, let's go to John, who's calling from Texas. Hi, John. How are you doing?
It's not too bad, but I just went to a bank, Wells Fargo Bank here.
Right.
I did a job for a lady, so I went to her bank instead of my bank. And so anyway, you know, I got a valid Texas driver's license, and there you went, like another form of ID. And anyway, I ended up having a hassle because I don't have a credit card, you know, and all this other stuff. And so I showed them my insurance card for my truck, and they said that wasn't good enough. And, you know, anyway, I got my Social Security card laminated, so that's, I guess you weren't supposed to do that or something. But from what I understand, these illegals, they don't really have to have a real great ID to go into these banks. And then my Texas driver's license is not good enough for these people.
All right. What's your thought on that at all? Have you heard anything like that, Carmen?
Absolutely. And, of course, Bank of America was the first one that offered, for instance, credit card to illegal aliens. And they took a lot of heat for that. And, of course, the only bank here in town is Bank of America, and I bank with them. And I called them up and I said, you know, listen, you guys, I've been having accounts with you for the last 14 years, and I'm going to cancel all of my accounts and take my business someplace else unless you stop this. And, of course, they didn't stop it. But, you know, the other thing I found out, When I did go to other banks, they did exactly the same thing.
And, of course, trouble is, John, if you were an illegal immigrant, you would not have the problems.
Yeah, well,
and
you
what they're doing is making it very difficult for the citizens and very easy for the illegals. And here in California, for instance, if you are an illegal immigrant, you can go to college, and you could pay far less in the way of tuition if you are here illegally than, of course, you're a citizen of Nevada wants to come in here. Why are we subsidizing the college education of illegal immigrants? Why are we giving them free health care and bankrupting our health care system? If you understand that our leaders know exactly what they're doing, they want to bankrupt the health care system so they can have socialized medicine. And boy, if you think that medicine is expensive when it's free, now wait till it's free. I mean, because wherever you have socialized medicine, the price goes through the ceiling and the quality goes down.
Well, I was listening to the, a shortwave station out of the Netherlands. Somewhere over in Europe, they said they passed a law where people that were fat were actually, they were saying something about not giving them medical care because they weren't taking care of themselves.
You have free medical care, except we won't take care of you if you're fat, if you're a smoker, or maybe if you're a male.
Yeah,
maybe a conservative male. They're the worst kind. Hey, John, God bless. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Yeah, okay.
Bye-bye. Well, our guest has been Carmen Mercer from the... would you like to go ahead and give your telephone number one more time, your website?
Absolutely. My telephone number is 520-255-1796. That's 520-255-1796. And our website is www.minutemanhq.com. That's minutemanhq.com.
All right. Hang on. We'll be back in just a moment to wrap up the program. Well, Carmen, we have 3 minutes for you to wrap up the program. What are the thoughts would you like to leave with our listeners?
Well, my thoughts are, you know, we need as many volunteers as we can get because this fight is not over. This fight is just beginning. We need to unite everybody. We work with all the groups that have border security and enforcement of the law on their mind, and we welcome everybody, and we have wonderful people that I've met in the last 6 years, and they're great patriots. And those are the people that are going to get the job done. So we say enough is enough. Let's unite and let's fight our government.
And, of course, really, don't you do you invite people to come down and be there with you on the border?
Absolutely. They can come down to the border. They can walk the Senate hall with me, and they can also help us with the border fence to complete it.
All right. Now, tell me a little bit about the border fence. I remember when the Minutemen were going to start building the fence. How much of the fence did you actually get built?
We have it almost completed. When it's completed, it's going to be 9/10 of a mile of security fence. We've also had surveillance fence material, foam guard, donated to us that we still have to put up. So it's going to be a double layer fence then, but it will be almost a mile. And, of course, it's going to be at a third of the original proposed cost of the government. Our fence only cost about around $1 million a mile, whereas the government was proposing originally at $3 million a mile, and, of course, since then it has escalated to even more than that.
Well, whenever the government does anything, we know that the price is always increased, and usually, of course, you got the Halliburton there, and you got Dick Cheney. He gets his deferred salary from Halliburton, and I'm not quite certain, Vice President, why you should be getting a deferred salary from a private corporation that's getting no cost or no bid contracts with the government for massive amounts of money, but I guess I'm pretty dense about that sort of thing, the way the world really works. Well, certainly, are you getting many people volunteering to come down on the border with you there?
Absolutely. When we have our 30-day operations, they come down. They come down from all over the nation, actually. Some people even take their vacation, their yearly vacation, to be down on the border with us. And I think that's just great. Those are the kind of people that we have in our organization. And we have almost 10,000 active volunteers that are always doing something, and in the internal chapters as well, and the legislature as well.
It would
be perfect if we would get a Minuteman into office.
All right, fine. Well, I hope that you do one of these days.
Yes.
Anyway, our guest has been Carmen Mercer, and of course she's with the Minuteman Group that's doing everything they can get the information out. The American people must understand that we have people in Washington, D.C. who have a different agenda because they have a different worldview, because they have a different loyalty, and their loyalty is not to America, but to this globalist concept, and there are an awful lot of them who have sworn an oath to uphold America, who hate our country. Bye-bye. God bless.
Bye-bye.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and let me mention that we have a great four-tape set on immigration. And you have to understand, you can't look at the immigration issue independently. You have to put it in the overall view of the globalist view. Well, first of all, uniting the North American Union. They already have the European Union. They're forming the South American Union, the African Union, the Asian Union, the Central Asian Union, the Pacific Rim Union, and then, of course, once the countries have gotten used to giving up their sovereignty, little by little, whether the people want it or not, they are, of course, forming a massive bureaucracy and a massive police force, moving rapidly towards a dictatorship, as they're moving certainly very slowly in Europe today, where the people have no say at all. They've been promised that they would have an opportunity to vote on giving up the sovereignty of their countries, and they've gone ahead and done it anyway. They don't care what the people want, because it is the elite concept that there is to be a one-world government, a one-world religion, and a one-world leader controlled by this elite. Now, our four-tape set on immigration is great. Certainly you'd want to get our four-tape set on the North American community. We carry a book. It's entitled The Late Great USA. It's written by our good friend Jerome Corsi, The Late Great USA. Another book called The Minutemen, and we think that both of those books are important for you to understand what this is about. And it's not as much about immigration as the destruction of our Constitution, the destruction of our freedom, the destruction of the nation that we love. And behind all of this are powerful, powerful spiritual forces that are intent upon destroying America, because we were once a great Christian nation, and they have actually been able to convince us we're a democracy. We're not a democracy, we're a republic. And if you don't know the difference between them, you need to get our pamphlet. It's called We Are a Republic. It's available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. We also have, of course, pamphlets on so many other things. We have a 3-pamphlet set called The Occult Hierarchy. And, of course, we don't quote what I say. We quote what they say. And they have publications. If any of you would like a copy of the pamphlet on the spiritual hierarchy, which is put out by one of the most powerful nations in the world today, financed by some of the richest people in the world, and you get some of our other products, well, just ask for the copy of the pamphlet on the spiritual hierarchy. We'll be glad to send it to you free of charge. It's put out by the other side. And they will tell you about how their people control the world. Not what I say, what they say. And then, of course, you go up on their website, and World Goodwill is one of them, World Goodwill, and look at who's financing it. You'll find some of the richest people in the world financing this front group for the Lucis Trust. It used to be the Lucifer Publishing House. Understand, ladies and gentlemen, that we're involved in a spiritual battle for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization. Most Christians don't understand that there are people, hundreds of millions of people, who worship the other God. And they really do. They believe, and this, of course, is an offshoot of the Kabbalah and of Gnosticism and the philosophy, the secret message of the Knights Templar and the Rosicrucians, and, of course, the Templars and Rosicrucians are certainly manifested today in modern-day masonry. And if you ever read the writings of the gentleman Albert Pike, who wrote Morals and Dogma, you'll find out that in the various steps that you go through in masonry, one of them is for the Knights Templar, another is for the Rosicrucians. And so you have to understand that modern-day masonry is the modern-day manifestation of the ancient mystery religions and Gnosticism and the belief in the other God. And that is, of course, where the power is. And, of course, if you haven't yet certainly heard my talk on the forbidden secret, you need to get it. That's the forbidden secret. Because there is a secret out there. There is power that's to be accessed into, and wealth, and but, of course, at a terrible, terrible price. And you don't want to have anything to do with that. Because, of course, all life here on earth will soon be done. But, of course, eternity is a long, long time. So please pray for America. Pray for revival. Pray for our leaders and ministers, but pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection. Until tomorrow,